The Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on today's show, we have Agni Lakshya. For over 10 years, Agni has studied Buddhism and Kriya Yoga while training as a Rosy Christian mystic dedicated to the betterment of humanity. He was a soldier, software engineer, and math teacher before starting his spiritual journey and leverages these multidisciplinary backgrounds to bring esoteric teachings down to earth for the common person. His new teachings, called Kriya Serpent Yoga, were given to him in a divine vision as part of his Kundalini awakening. Using the wisdom from prior incarnations, he easily blends mystical Hindu, Buddhist, and Gnostic philosophies with science and transcendental meditation to create an easy-to-learn spiritual path for all humans seeking a connection to the divine. He is a yogi who bridges the realm of the physical with the realms of the heavens, imparting his knowledge and experiences through his writings. His book, The Kriya Serpent Yogi, Transforming Ordinary People into Extraordinary Humans, is available now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Oh, Agni, thank you so much for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure. I'm very excited to share my book, The Kriya Serpent Yogi, with you and your audience.
Wow. Honestly, you are a man after my own heart, because I've been studying Kundalini Kriya Yoga, and I got initiated to teach it for quite a while. But I've just been looking at, you know, through all of your work, and it's just astounding. So let's get to all the beautiful questions, because we want all of your divine wisdom to okay. awaken us all. So, Agni, I believe, well, humanity is on the brink of a transformation, and a great awakening into the age of Aquarius is happening. So what does this mean for you? How do you see it, and for us all?
Well, basically, I came into this, you know, relatively recently, and my awakening was only about 3 years ago. And what I discovered through a lot of my consultations with the divine within and celestial guides is that this is a transformation that is very important for humanity, because we're going to begin to ascend and become essentially creators within the universe. We're going to take over where a lot of the already well ascended and evolved people of the universe have already been. And we're going to help new planets, new worlds, new people evolve. And we can't do that until we ascend ourselves. And the Kriya Serpent Yogi book is my contribution to the effort of getting people awakened and understanding and knowing what is happening in the world today and in humanity and what it means going forward.
Wow. Yes, indeed. Indeed. And your incredible book, The Kriya Serpent Yogi, contains an expedient means to awaken new humans manifesting on our world now. Can you describe this a little bit, please, about the new humans and how it can help them to awaken?
Yeah, so at this time in our transition, essentially a lot of old souls are coming back to our world and incarnating. And as most of us have already sort of felt, there's a lot of tension going on right now as the energy of the planet itself starts to increase, and also the energy of the individuals. And what I've been seeing with a lot of the new humans, I'm a teacher, and so I work with young people every day. And what I've been seeing is that tension for them is very difficult, and it's causing all sorts of issues. I call them Homo Illustratus, or the enlightened ones. And right now, so many of them are just starting to come into incarnation, and they basically are confused. It doesn't seem like the right place. And I kind of felt that way my whole life.
Yeah.
But this Kriya, the Kriya Serpent Yogi book outlines steps that they can follow that will allow them to connect with their soul, find their purpose in this transition period, and then begin to develop that purpose. Kundalini is really the energy involved, and the techniques that I outline are an expedient means to trigger your Kundalini and eventually connect to your higher self, where you're going to find your purpose. And right now, I think it's an important step to allow us all to awaken to what's happening. And one of the things that I put in the Kriya Serpent Yogi is that this is not a belief. This is not just a theoretical idea. This is something that they're going to experience once they start the practice, awaken, and find their purpose. And once you know, once the veil is removed and you know, then you're really engaged in this world and you understand why you're here and you can begin the work to make that transition. And that transition is essentially to remake this world into what it should be.
Yes, because we are born now, the new humans. We chose to come here at this time. This is the most important time, I believe, because it is the Great Awakening. We chose to come here to help that process, to bring the light, to awaken ourselves, earth peace through self peace, awaken ourselves and find out who we truly are and our true purpose and the divine mission that we are on. To bring this awakening into being.
Absolutely. And you know, when I got the invitation to come on your show, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like perfect, because you're someone who's obviously very engaged in your purpose and helping spread the word, right? And I'm very excited because I think that with being able to reach more and more people, more and more people are going to begin down their path, their spiritual path. And for a lot of them, it's going to be a real eye-opener. When the veil is removed, it can be kind of a shocker. I
Yeah.
have been involved in paranormal and spiritual stuff most of my life, but I was not awakened. And I have to admit that along the way, it was a little bit scary because you
Yeah.
didn't really understand what was going on. I
Yeah.
am well grounded in science. I'm an engineer by training, and I love science. And I was being told by science, these things don't exist.
Yeah.
And our children today are being told the exact same thing. Well, that's not real. That doesn't really exist. It's a psychological anomaly.
Yeah.
But when you actually begin that spiritual path and you experience the Kundalini, you will experience the truth of reality. Really experience it. It's not a belief, it is a knowing. You
That's right.
know, oh my gosh. And then that's when you begin to remember prior lives. I made the decision about 12,000 years ago to come back here at this transition because I wanted to help remake the world.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's just a continuation of many lifetimes. Pick up the work, keep going on.
Yeah. And that awakening process is, a very confusing, hopeless time, I call it. I believe that we're all going through a collective dark night of the soul and an individual dark night of the soul at this time, because the light that is coming in, it's like forcing the darkness up. All of the darkness that has been hidden, in this world, and bringing it to the surface. And as that does, we are the microcosm to the macrocosm. So it brings it up within us as well. And, it's a very, challenging yet enlightening, process, isn't it? The process of awakening.
It is very challenging. Basically, I think for a lot of us, what we're feeling is a lot of trauma and karma from the world itself,
Yeah.
from Gaia, basically manifesting. And it's all part of that transition process. And just like you said, as it is in the macrocosm, it is in the microcosm. When you begin down the path of Kriya Serpent Yoga, you're going to experience some of those same things. It's going to bring up past trauma, some karma, and it can be a bit challenging. And I write about that in the Kriya Serpent Yoga. So I want to make sure that the people are prepared for the experiences that they're going to have and they can process them. And so we're doing it at the world scale, and we are definitely doing it at the individual scale. And my Kriya Serpent Yogi book is all about the individual and helping them awaken and process a lot of the stuff from their past, and not just this life, but past, previous incarnations as well. And then hopefully they're going to begin to see reality for what it is, not the reality that's created here that our ego believes in.
Maya, I call it the matrix, Maya, which is the delusion, the illusion that this reality is our true home, which is not, and it's full of the temptations, isn't it? And the ego and all of the I want, things, which is we are not our ego. We are the soul consciousness, aren't we? Which we are the one being one. It's just like, oh, unbelievable. But I would like to ask you, please tell our audience what Kundalini is, because so many people have a different view on it, but it's really important. Thank you.
Well, Kundalini is the life force, and it is what animates us. And it's there, it's always been there, it will always be there. And when we talk about activating it, what we're really saying is we're really beginning to use it to charge us and raise our vibrational energy. And that is the use of Kundalini. You go back in history, and this was a very common thing for a lot of the people that were initiates in the School of Mysteries, being able to feed that energy through their system, because it not only increases your vibrational state, but it also raises your consciousness and allows you to enter into the transcendental states, which is Kriya Serpent Yoga is all about, transcendental meditation, and be able to channel that. And in my particular practice, you can channel it every single day you do your meditation. It is an energizing force that will eventually reveal everything to you and connect you to the divine within.
Beautiful. And when I learn a particular my particular Kundalini Kriya Yoga, we were we do the kriyas to breathe and the mantras to breathe the energy up the spine, which magnetizes, because the Kundalini is like serpent energy that lies 3.5, they say 3.5 times at the base of the spine, dormant. So we're awakening that energy and we're magnetizing the spine to bring it up through the different chakras, up to the crown, up to the third eye, which is where you can go into those multidimensional, like transcendental, beautiful realms that are, they are within. They're not out there. This is the thing that we've always been told to look out there. Don't look within. It's the old cliche, isn't it? Everything is within.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It is, and in the Kriya Serpent Yogi, I outline how, from both a physics perspective and a spiritual perspective, our three-dimensional reality is really nothing but energy. And I start the book out that way because I think it's really important for us to understand the ethereal nature of what we believe is a hard reality.
Yes.
It's just dense energy. It's not actually real substance, so to speak. And when you begin to play with that concept, you begin to understand how energy is so integral to your spiritual side, because you are energy. You're just manifest in a dense form. And the Kundalini is just another form of energy. And so the Kundalini is going to help you activate a lot more of your energy systems within your body, which is going to allow you to access higher energies as well. And, you know, it was a fundamental, like I always knew from a physics perspective that we were all energy. I even teach it in my classes. But from a spiritual perspective, it was kind of a real eye-opener. And when I started down my path, you know, the idea of a chakra was so new to me. I was like, what is a chakra? And when I really began to activate them, initially through Kriya Yoga, doing pranayama,
yes.
I was like, suddenly, what is happening? And for me, the first time my Kundalini actually triggered, I actually went into a state of samadhi.
Wow.
And at the time, yeah. So for those that don't know, the state of samadhi is the dissolution of the soul and the rejoining of the dissolution of the ego and the rejoining of the soul with source. Mm. I've been told it's basically you're meeting God. Mm. And when it started happening and I felt my ego begin to dissolve, it was frightening because I didn't know what was happening. And that was an experience that I halted midway because I thought I was dying.
Yeah.
And in a way, it is like dying.
Ego death.
Like that, yes, exactly. Ego death. But what was really interesting is it brought home to me that power of the idea of energy and how energy is such an integral part of everything. And so Kundalini can affect it. Our own thoughts can affect it. Our own etheric field can affect it. And I always like to use that famous saying that when you drop a pebble in a pond, the waves that go out, it's the same thing for everything that we do. Everything we do radiates waves of energy out into the universe. And this is why when we all awaken, we realize, oh my God, we truly are all connected.
Yes.
And that is such a powerful, powerful and profound experience when you make that realization. And it's all based on the fact that we're just all in a giant ocean of energy.
Yes. And our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions go out. I call it into the divine matrix. They go out and they affect the whole of this realm, the whole of creation. You know, it's the cause and effect, isn't it? It's as Jesus said, what you give out, so you shall receive. You know, it's, and we have to be mindful and make all of our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions sacred and become the master of them before they master us. You know, it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah. And so, you know, for me, one of my struggles through life has been, you know, control of emotions.
Mm.
And, you know, some have said I'm probably autistic or at least on the autistic spectrum. And emotions are very difficult for me. And through this practice, I began to understand what they were, how they operated, and I've begun to really process through that. And you're right. It, you know, the ego is basically emotions run amok.
Yes.
And it's going to react to things because it's always trying to keep us alive. That's kind of the ego's role. And while that is all wonderful, it doesn't care what the ramifications are. Mm. It's all, okay, are you going to be safe? If you are, great. If you're not, flee. And instead, whatever you do has consequences. And I am also an empath. And so, and I see it in my classroom all the time, how I say things, how I react to students, it has a huge impact on them. And it really, you know, as I went down this spiritual path, it really brought it home to me that you have to be very mindful about what you're doing and how you interact with people. They're feeling your energy that's emanating from you and any sort of, you know, negative energy. And I can tell you right now, these new humans, you know, the students that I'm teaching today, they are very sensitive. They're highly sensitive. And we have a lot of confusion in education and just in our world in general.
Exactly.
With why these children seem so non-resilient, because everything triggers them. Well, it's because they're on the verge of that awakening. Mm. They're confused by the tension that's going on. And they are empathic, much more, I think, than like my generation or my parents' generation. And they feel that negative energy in a way that they don't quite understand. They just know it's bad, and they can start to shut down, withdraw. And that's where you start seeing the depression, the anxiety.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the internet has just become a way for them to feed more of that negative energy their system. And it's really having a drastic effect on a lot of them. So I'm hoping that over time we can begin to wake them up and make them realize that, hey, it doesn't have to be this way. You have the power to change your reality. And when they begin to embrace that, I think we're going to start to see that, you know, sea change across the world, which of course we all want.
And Agni, it's really, you know, these schools and universities don't teach Kundalini. They don't teach energy. They don't teach source, God, goddess. They don't teach, you know, that this is not our reality, you know, that we are spiritual energy beings, you know, having an earth physical existence. You know, if they taught this, you know, they and about past lives and all of this, they would understand so much. You know, it would alleviate so many of this. Why now? This is the Great Awakening, and we're going to have conscious schools coming into being, ministries coming into being, where young people can go. I think it's a time where the old systems are going to be taken down because they do not benefit humanity anymore. And we, the new humans, are going to turn around, and we're not even going to be involved with them. We're just going to build the new.
It's true. And in the Kriya Serpent Yogi, I talk about that quite a bit, because basically we're still suffering from that, you know, schism between science and religion. And our educational systems were sort of, once they sort of freed themselves from the Catholic Church, you know, control way back, that began that separation of science and religion. And physicists today are finally starting to realize, hey, wait a minute, they're actually not separate. They're not independent of each other. They're actually the same thing, just different ways of looking at it.
Exactly.
And I do talk about that in my class, but you have to be very careful, because, you know, you're trying to follow the party line. Otherwise, you know, you might lose your job.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
But I try to open their eyes to see that there's a much broader universe than just the small reality that they're currently in. And a big part of that, I talk about science and mathematics. And then I also do talk a little bit about spirituality. And I say, you know, we thought for years that these things were separate, and they're not. They're the exact same thing. And I believe that the two are going to finally come together. And it's going to do two things. One, it's going to raise the overall consciousness of our planet and our people. And then the second thing, it's going to create an incredible technological leap forward. And this is the evolution I talk about pretty heavily, because we are on the verge of going into a world where most of us can't even imagine the technology that'll be available. It will, you know, today it seems like magic. And the problem is the existing infrastructure, the existing systems are not prepared for that sort of technological leap. And we're already seeing that with AI.
Exactly.
People are struggling to understand it. How do we integrate it? How do we keep ourselves safe from it? So there's a whole other aspect to this around technology that the new humans, once they awakened, they're going to deal with it like no problem. Why? Because mm-hmm. they've done it before in past lives.
Mm.
But until you awaken, it can be a scary time. You start seeing all of this stuff, you don't understand it, and you're afraid. And so people are starting to see the tension between those of us who are seeing the future, we know what it's going to be, and we're moving us towards it, and those who are stuck in the old systems. And they're like, hey, this is too fast. I don't understand. I'm afraid. And it's very difficult. And that's a lot of that tension that we feel is the difference between what I call Homo sapiens and Homo illustratus, the new humans.
Yes. And what you said there was really, really interesting about, you know, our technology is going to be so high, but as long as we merge it with nature. Yeah. We cannot, this is, I believe, we, you know, as we evolved the human race, you know, we came away from nature. We started to live in these tiny little boxes, you know, 2.4 children. We lost our tribe. We lost our connection to Mother Nature, to the truth, because nature is God, goddess. It's all the same thing. You know, we're living in the realm of that. You know, the divine mind is God. It's nature. It's everything. So as long as we don't, you know, take over nature, we work with that AI, that technology, and immerse it with nature, I think we'll be okay. You know, with our spiritual values as well. It's so important.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, a big part of that is that, you know, we are really like children just coming onto the galactic stage. And unfortunately, with the technology that we have, it's kind of the equivalent of giving a loaded gun to a toddler. Bad things are going to happen. And that's what we've been seeing in our world. We're just now starting to realize that, you know what, maybe we shouldn't just dump pollution anywhere we want. Hey, you know, this could have a bad effect on people if they're using it all the time, et cetera, et cetera. And that's all going to change, because once everyone's connected to their inner self, they'll understand energy and the impact. They will feel nature in a way that they can't feel today. Mm. And they're not going to want to harm it.
Yes.
And they're not going to fear death. And a big part of the angst that a lot of people have in this world is this fear of death. Well, there is no death. It's just a transformation to another state. And yes, we're going to begin to build a world that is not just technologically advanced, but also in balance with nature. And it's going to be quite wonderful. I've had an opportunity to see a vision of another world. And they lived in harmony and balance. And it was quite amazing. And it's something that, you know, I hope our planet's going to aspire to as we evolve and ascend.
It will, Agni, for sure. It definitely will. And what you just said there, the connection within, please tell us about our divine spirit soul within and how Kriya Serpent Yoga can connect us with the God, with divine consciousness, to receive guidance, illumination, and love.
So in the Kriya Serpent Yogi, it outlines a methodical approach, a process in four different levels. Mm. And the entire goal overall of the practice is to connect you with your divine self so that you do find your purpose. But you can't do that when you're shut off from energy. And so your first step is to energize your overall etheric system and prepare for the Kundalini, because the Kundalini is the supercharger. Mm-hmm. But if your body and your mind is not quite ready for that, then it can have devastating effects on you, psychological, psychic, all sorts of physical effects. And so I walk people through a process that allows them to prepare for the Kundalini. Once they achieve Kundalini, they begin to have a steady daily diet of the Kundalini. That's going to open up their etheric channels. It's going to put them in touch with all sorts of energies that they didn't even know existed. As those energies begin to come into their body, they're going to begin to experience various aspects of reality that they didn't know existed. One is celestial guides or other entities that live in different realities, different dimensions. And part of that process is going to begin to separate them from their ego. Their ego is the five senses that we're all familiar with. And the divine self is the etheric body and the soul, essentially, which is a fragmentary piece of the divine or source or God. I like to use the word God because that's how I was raised.
Me too.
And as you begin to raise your vibrational state, you begin to be able to access these higher energies that are there already. And you can begin to sort of decode them and understand them. At one point, your divine self is going to speak to you. And it's going to tell you things about your practice, your growth, and eventually it will tell you your purpose. And then once you get your purpose, you will have a regular conversation with celestial guides, ascended masters, and your divine self to help you achieve that purpose. I'm here today because this is all part of my purpose, to awaken people. And that all was driven by the divine. And I would love to take all the credit for my book, The Kriya Serpent Yogi, but the reality is I was channeling divine thought at that point.
Right.
My inner self was coming out, and I would sit back and almost be stunned as I watched my fingers go on the keyboard and these words come off, and I'd get done and I'd read it and I'd go, wow, that's really good. Where'd that come from? And of course, it came from the divine, from my higher self.
Yes.
Because if you can connect to your soul, you are literally connecting to God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you begin to understand and experience that reality, it is profound and will change you in a way that you'll never return to the hidden, scared person that you were before.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You can't go back. You know, it's
correct.
Just onwards. This evolutional journey is never ending, isn't it? And
absolutely.
Oh, wow. And tell us about, so I was looking at the first level is just learning how to meditate. And I think this is really important, you know, because it takes a long time. You can't, and also your levels are like over 6 months. Because it takes sometimes it does take a long time, years, you know, to people think that they're just going to start to do Kriya Yoga and it's just going to happen. Well, you know, it takes a long, long, long time to, you might not even get there in this. You might not even have a Kundalini awakening in this life. You know, you might have to wait until, you know, next life. But the act and the meditation is so important. Even if you're not actually, you know, going on to do the Kriyas, just doing that every day is so beneficial, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. And in the Kriya Serpent Yogi, I have outlined a test. And the test is literally just chanting the mantras of Kriya Serpent. And by doing that, you will begin to feel sensations. And I list out, well, if you feel these sensations, this is kind of where you are in your spiritual journey. Because I want people to understand that, yes, just like you said, it is possible you could start down this path and never actually activate your Kundalini. And everyone's on a different evolutionary path. And the new humans, they're going to activate very quickly. Older humans may not, and it may take a long time. Mine is definitely what I consider to be an expedient means to get to that point. But again, it's so dependent on your spiritual evolution and where you are. And the introductory level gives you that starting point to allow you to get the basis of meditation understood and understand how you're connected to an ethereal part of yourself, your chakras, and then give them that first step into essentially the Kriya. And I think that if they go down that path, it could take, I put down 6 to 18 months, but it is quite possible it could take a year, two, three, or more. Now, I believe that for all of the new humans, that's not going to be the situation. I believe that they're going to do it within the 18 months, and then they'll move on to the second level, which is all about activating your Kundalini. Now, I actually give away the first level for free on my website. And also, I'm creating the videos right now for my YouTube channel that will allow people to watch and learn those initial sort of techniques to allow them to do that first level. I think it's important that they understand how to do meditation, begin to charge their etheric system before they start down the path of the Kriya Serpent Yogi. And so I gave it away for free because I want them to try it out. I want them to experience it first, see where they're at, and then they can decide if they want to move on or not.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Because it's so powerful. You know, the Kundalini is our soul potential, and it is really powerful, you know, and you've got to have that solid foundation, you know, before you raise. Yeah. It's just beautiful. But you know what?
Oh, absolutely.
Every single, as you were saying, you know, the Rosicrucians, because you've studied, you know, the Essenes, the Gnostics, you know, the white temples of brotherhood, you know, in Egypt, all of them, and they have all talked and studied and given the teachings of Kundalini rising. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic. It doesn't matter if you, you know, whatever religion or non-religion you believe in, everyone on earth, you are reincarnated to raise your Kundalini energy. This is the reason why we are here on earth, is to raise our energy. You know, it's just, it's, and if you look, the eye of Horus, you know, in the Egyptian, this is the third eye. It's just, you right. know, it's actually, you know, the depiction of it in the brain is the third eye. It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. And I, like I said, I think in our far ancient past, probably in the pre-Diluvian past, you know, before the Great Flood,
yeah,
I believe Kundalini was an everyday everyday part of so many of the people's lives.
Yes.
And they had that connection to the divine at all times. And so it was a very different world back then because of that. But then after the flood, and there was a lot of fear, I think that knowledge became sacred. It was considered sacred at that point, and you had to go through all sorts of initiations and rites to be able to learn it. That period is over. It is time that everyone has access to it. And I'm hoping that the Kriya Serpent Yogi book is going to be that, you know, beginning point for a lot of people. Mm. I wanted to give them something that was comprehensive, that would actually produce results. and would give them that awakening that they need to find their purpose and then be able to accomplish that in this lifetime.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. And, you know, it's really important that it comes from a true yogi, one as yourself who has had a Kundalini awakening. I've been teaching and studying it for, you know, nearly 15 years now, you know, and I'm still, it's just an ongoing evolution. But I'm afraid to say that there are many who are not teaching the truth of it, you know, and sometimes it's dangerous. So, you know, we need true yogis like you to put the truth out there, because this, I believe, has been hidden from us. This is our divinity within. I believe that the powers that be, you know, the good versus evil structure in our world has hidden it from us, because it is our divine potential. And you know, they have stopped us from knowing that we are divine, which has been the worst thing for humans, I believe. And that's why we're awakening to it. We're awakening to our divinity, you know, to the flame of God, goddess within, which is unbelievable.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was raised Judeo-Christian and in a fairly rigid and conservative religion. And while I enjoyed the people that were in that religion, what they were preaching never sat right with me. And, you know, so many of them, at least here in America, so many of them are all about, you know, we're the only ones that God loves and is going to take to heaven. And it's a completely false narrative. And that all stems from that original narrative that came out of, unfortunately, the Roman Catholic Church back in the day, which basically taught that we were all sinners and not redeemable except through Jesus. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of Jesus, who I call Yeshua. But it's not really the teaching that he had. I mean, I believe, as many do, he was a yogi.
Yes,
and he understood. He understood the divine within all.
He was a Kundalini Kriya Yogi.
Absolutely.
One of my gurus has read scripts in India that, you know, he went there to study in the missing years. That's how he performed all of his miracles.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, Paramahansa Yogananda talked about Jesus all the time.
Yeah, and the similarities between Kundalini and his teachings, which were was the first Christianity, wasn't it? He didn't have a church. Jesus didn't have a church. He didn't believe in the church. He just taught, you know, in his ministry. Yeah. Yeah.
Like all things, unfortunately, you start with the right ideas and the right things, and then suddenly dogma comes and takes over, and suddenly there's, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. It's the nature, unfortunately, of the old humans to want to control.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say, they weren't necessarily misguided, because until you are connected, you're still driven by your ego, and the ego can be chaotic, violent, dangerous. And the reality is, if you didn't have control, you definitely were going to experience chaos, and that's not what they wanted. And so I think a lot of the leaders back in the day, they were like, okay, well, we need to control this. Unfortunately, then it turned into the dogma, and then they elevated themselves above everyone else. Oh, I'm the only way to get to God.
That's right.
And once that happened, then they were like, well, Lord, we can't tell them that they're actually part of the divine, because then they don't need us.
Then we don't need religion anymore. We don't need it anymore.
Exactly.
They're going to knock us off our pedestal.
Right. And then, you know, like we had said before, I think the Kundalini does have its risks. You know, when you're starting out, you have to prepare for it.
Yeah.
And that's what the ashrams always did. The yogis of old, they always took people in. And they also were only looking for those that were, you know, spiritually minded or spiritually advanced. And there's good reason around that as well. I think today, when we have so much new technology and we're not all fighting for survival, I think that's the difference between now and then, and that's why that old dogma needs to go away, because now it's time that everyone has sort of the freedom and the permission to be able to spiritually develop themselves. Because again, we're not fighting for survival. We don't have to go out and hunt and gather our food. And this has made a huge impact on our world, but it's causing a lot of confusion, because in the past, you only had one prime directive: eat, reproduce, and protect yourself.
Yes.
And now there's this whole opening of a whole new part of us, and people don't know how to do it. And that's why people like you and people like me and the millions of others involved in this awakening are here. We're here to guide them and get them on the path that's going to open up their third eye and awaken them to the truth of reality.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. And I just wanted to say about the ego, you know, because, you know, it is like we're in this battle of the ego, the false self and the true self, the divine self, you know. And to me, you know, ego is, you know, they have prescribed it, I believe, as what they say is the devil. The devil is not a person. It's the persona of the ego, but it's also those negative, destructive, self-sabotaging thoughts, feelings that we have. That's real sin. You know, the old word for the goddess in years ago was sin. And sin is emotion, it was connected to the moon, which is our emotions. So, you know, to sin meant to self-sabotage, meant to have them destructive, negative, dark thoughts, you know, which feeds the ego. So, you know, this is why, you know, all it is awakening to the true self, the I am, the divine being one, because it's the same soul consciousness within every single being, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're all, you know, everything is essentially God. That's the way to think about it. And that's how that's taught in the Freemasons and the Rosicrucians, is that, you know, God is all, essentially. And that means you're part of God. And even the mass murderers that we see on our planet, they're part of God. Everyone is part of God, because everything that we know is God. And that is a concept that can be hard to embrace. It just sounds so out of this world. But the reality is, once you tune into it, once you begin that awakening process, you're like, oh my gosh, this is really a true thing. Then it changes your entire perspective on everything. And you begin to see the false world, and you begin to see your ego as the false self. And you're like, oh, I begin to understand. I started in 2011 studying Buddhism. And this is what Buddha was so good at. This idea that you are not your ego. Your ego is the one that causes the suffering, that causes all of the hardship that you, because it's only designed to keep us alive. That's its entire purpose. And when you're only engaged in that, like I said earlier, when you're just trying to get food on the table, survive, you know, protect your children, you don't understand that there's a higher part of yourself that is part of the divine. And he said, look, if you can just suppress the ego and understand that your reality is yours to shape, then you're going to experience happiness. Unbridled happiness. And those of us who are awakened, that's what we experience. We understand the truth of reality, and we know that we can shape reality. And that's a powerful, powerful and profound concept that you can't just know. You have to know it. You can't just learn it. It's not something you read and go, oh, okay, I've got that. No, you have to go through the rigors of conditioning yourself, raising your kundalini, eventually opening your third eye and understanding reality, then you can really begin to shape your reality. And that is very, very powerful. And once all of us begin to do that, this world will change so rapidly.
Wow. Wow. Absolutely brilliant. Honestly, thank you for your divine wisdom. Thank you for going through your awakening and bringing that into, you know, all of your knowledge into this beautiful book for us all to awaken. So Agni, thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you, Joanne. I really appreciate it. It's been a real treat. Peace profound.
Lovely. Oh,